Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Daniel Dickinson at the United Nations in New York. Coming up in this week's program, why it's important that girls understand what goes on at the United Nations, and women and girls need to play a more prominent role in decision-making. But first, more women than men died during the Indian Ocean tsunami and Cyclone Gorki in Bangladesh, UN human rights monitors have heard. At a meeting organised by the UN Convention on Ending Discrimination Against Women, known as CEDAW, experts discussed the scale of the problem and how women and girls could play a greater role in reducing the risk of disasters occurring. Jocelyn Sambira reports.
Out of 140,000 people who died from the flood-related effects of Cyclone Gorki in Bangladesh in 1991, women outnumbered men by 14-1. According to Palash Mondal, technical expert at CARE Bangladesh, most early warning systems are directed towards males. Furthermore, he says, women are more vulnerable because their livelihoods heavily rely on natural resources. Here's Palash Mondal.
Actually, climate change brings double injustice for the women of poor countries. First injustice is people living in poverty all over the world are worse affected by the climate change and disaster impacts, and also have the fewest resources to cope with the extreme and erratic weather. The second injustice is gender inequality. There is a big gap.
Meanwhile, during the 2011 earthquake in Japan, where over 18,000 people died or went missing, women were not particularly vulnerable, says Kaiko Ikeda, expert on earthquake disasters and gender at Shizuoka University. But, she says, a higher mortality rate was observed among poor older women who lived alone.
Higher mortality is observed among aged women living alone. Due to their low income level, a result of small amount of pension compared to men, and due to the business customs of rental housing industry, aged women living alone tend to rent old apartment houses which are less earthquake resistant.
However, Ms. Ikeda admits, women do encounter challenges living as evacuees in shelters. For Margareta Wallstrom, the former special representative of the UN Secretary General for Disaster Risk Reduction, evacuation centers are still not arranged in a way to keep privacy. Supplies are often not enough for girls, elderly people, the disabled, and others in vulnerable situations to live in dignity. The lack of women at the decision-making level is the problem, she says.
Why is it so complicated to get these perspectives included into the practice of institutions and governments? Because they've said they want to do it, just doesn't seem to happen. Is that because there is a lack of representation at that level? I would say so.
An important milestone was reached in 2009 when a statement on climate change was issued by CEDAW monitors asking for all responses to disaster risk reduction be gender sensitive. Now the gap between policy and practice needs to be closed. Jocelyn Sambira, United Nations.
It's important that girls understand what's happening at the United Nations, as decisions made at the global body can directly impact on them. That's the opinion of Sharon Joslin, a member of the GRAIL, an international non-governmental organisation that seeks to empower women to transform the world. The NGO is bringing girls to UN headquarters this month for the 60th session of the Commission on the Status of Women. The CSW, as it's known, helps to shape global standards on gender equality. Matthew Wells asked Ms. Joslin if the current international climate makes it difficult to be a girl.
With terrorism and with refugee status and the natural disasters that we're suffering, sexual abuse, trafficking, malnutrition, lack of education, abuse in the family, carrying extra responsibilities. Yes, it's a very difficult time, and the world really needs to be in support of them.
So what would you like the UN in general to be doing more of in order to lend greater support to girls around the world?
Well, I would like UN Women and the United Nations to open their doors to girls. For one thing, for example, we are working with a young woman who would like to come, 16 years old, from Brazil, and she has been denied a visa by the United States. on the basis that they don't believe that she will return to Brazil because she's young, because she does not have a profession, because she does not have money there invested in Brazil. And we look at the Millennium Development Goals, and we look at the Sustainable Development Goals, and we look at the girls who do come here and participate, most of which are from the United States. A small part come from other countries. But the interaction they have, the knowledge they receive, the leadership training that they get is invaluable. And they feel that now they count, that they can do something in their lives.
What is it that you'd like people listening to do on behalf of girls in the places where they live?
Wherever you are, I think you can reach out to girls. You can go to schools. You can go to your relatives. You probably have young girls in your families. And help them to know what is happening at the United Nations, because countries are agreeing to do certain things. And all information is available on the website, UN Women, UN.org, CSW60. We can get all the information.
Investment in women and girls is vital so that they can become involved in and influence issues that affect them directly. That's according to one of the speakers at the recent launch of the new Global Acceleration Instrument on Women, Peace and Security and Humanitarian Action. The instrument will provide resources to women's civil society organisations working in conflict prevention, conflict resolution and recovery efforts. Undacha Yesaba Goretti is the executive director of the Dushirihamwe Association, a women's network in Burundi that works for peace and women's rights. She spoke to Janie Kanjelozi.
I'm glad to take part of this event and to listen to the international community engagement, and also to listen how UN Women is going to be empowered once again to be able to help women from worldwide, but especially Burundi. And UN Women is already doing many things for Burundian women. And for my organization and other civil society's organization, we are very familiar to work together. And I think our partnership now will go beyond organizations to build a big movement of women and girls so that they can be actors, not only beneficiaries, but some people who can influence policies, people who can stand up for peace, people who can transform Burundi and the future of Burundi. I'm very impressed of how the international community is really aware of what is happening in our different countries. And I hope we keep the link to build this partnership and synergies to make the difference in the peace building. And yes, we can.
What exactly is going on in Burundi and how is it affecting the women and girls there?
Well, Burundi is at crossroad because from April last year, the announcement of the third term of the President Nkurunziza has been the start of protestations from opposition and also civil society organization, because this was it is a violation of the peace accord agreement, which came from far after many years of fight and divisions among Burundian, and also it's a violation of the constitution, which is not allowed in this century. Because we have to work with democratic principles, and we have to have a leadership which is respectful of the priorities of its own citizens. So there is a climate of violence. Those who are protesting are really executed, are put in prisons, are also about to flee the country.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. Thanks for listening. I'm Daniel Dickinson.